expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign minds.
All yeah. right.
We tried. We tried.
Woo! Ding, 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 ding.
Woo! Oh, my gosh. So today is Sunday, January 16th, and our fearless leader, Mark Kent, cannot be in today. He is feeling a little under the weather, and we wish him well. And so you guys are stuck with us today.
That's right.
We have a special guest.
Here we go.
We have a special guest in the studio, Richard Gallardo, who has a bunch of local information to share with us. And I've got a 3-page document that we're going to discuss here this morning. Richard, what do you want to tell us about this?
Well, did Linda, you were mentioning earlier, did you want to do anything first before we get into it?
As far as announcements or anything?
No, I'll do my announcements afterwards. That's all right.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just kind of carry over for the program before, since they had Patrick Jones on talking about what's going on in our county. Let's just kind of keep rolling.
Okay.
You know?
I heard the disclaimer. I heard the disclaimer at the beginning. Was that for me?
That's for all of us.
Opinions of guests and callers are not.
It's just for entertainment. Don't you get it? It's just entertainment.
I've never been called entertainment, but thank you. Let's see. Actually, yeah, there's plenty going on. I actually have two different documents to talk about, but so I'll hit the first one briefly, and I believe, Dave, you were given a copy of this.
Yes, I have this right here.
I have did a Records Act request with Kathy Darling Allen, the Registrar of Voters, and this for Leonard Modi's recall special election, specifically for that. And so basically what I'm trying to do, I'm just trying to gather statistics for this particular election only. And Kathy Darling Allen, reading this request from me, she's basically seeing that I'm trying to, once I get the information, I want to try to extrapolate any inconsistencies, anomalies, and possibly fraud and cheating that may be coming. No, not in Shasta County. Come on, everybody here, they're all angels, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's what this Record Act is about, and I did get a response to it. It was actually a 7-page response. I only gave you the 3 pages, which is really pertinent to what I requested. They're going to give me approximately 80% of what I asked for, and the other 20%, they're basically saying they do not collect the particular statistics on that other 20%. So,
and
I don't
know. 20% would be kind of like, what don't they collect on?
It's what they do not normally collect during a recall, like during an election.
And what kind of information is that? Can you kind of give us a highlight of it?
So they don't track, I can read it. They don't track the following information: total number of ballots received via remote access, vote by mail. That is the system where people can print their ballots at home. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's in place, just in case some of you don't know that.
And
you can actually register.
Time, yeah.
You can actually register and print your ballot at home. Yeah, no harvesting going on there, right? But they don't track that. They don't track those particular ballots when they come in, the ones that you can print at home.
Well, and so there's no tracking on when it was printed, where it was printed,
exactly.
Or the IP directly related to it.
Exactly.
So yeah, you can basically print off, theoretically, if you're a malicious actor, you could print off as all your neighbors and go ahead and fill in the ballot.
You don't even have to be in the district.
Yeah, and they don't track the number of ballots received from the Postal Service from outside of California, such as military ballots. Or there's people, maybe they're vacationing in Hawaii for right now, and they've requested their ballot there because they're in Hawaii for a couple of months. Well, and that's also legitimate, but they don't track them. They don't track the number of ballots coming in from out of state. What was your question?
While you're on that, because I've had a lot of people, I shouldn't say the people inquiring to us about, hey, I got a ballot for this recall election,
yeah,
and I don't live in the district. Or I've seen addresses where people are getting their ballots, like in China and places like that, and they're saying, how are they getting that? They're on the rolls.
Yeah. Well, again, if they're a legitimate resident of Shasta County, they're allowed to vote, no matter where they're at. And the law allows them to get those ballots other places if they've requested it specifically. And let me correct something right real quick. From last week, I mentioned that there was a ballot mailed to an address out of the district. And that is true, by the way. That is absolutely legitimate, what was said last week. But I have confirmed by looking at some government databases that that ballot was rightfully, correctly sent to that address as a mailing address, not a physical residence address. So mailing addresses are different. They can be outside of the district.
Okay.
But the problem I have with that ballot is this particular person that received that ballot, he's been out of the state for over 2 years. And at some point, Kathy Darling Allen has to put these voters as inactive. So, and when's that going to happen? When is this person's ballot going to stop getting mailed out, you know, because he's out of state? He lives out of state now.
Right.
So I do have that problem with the ballot.
Yeah, that's kind of my question, like the people that are in China and stuff. How long have they been? I mean, they're not updating the rolls and going through them, like you say. And
Kathy Darling, she's mentioned this particular issue before on radio, where the voter, once they've not voted in a certain number of elections, and I do believe that is subjective, then she can put them inactive.
But she has to do that. That brings me to another thing, is I do know there's quite a few people over the age of 100 that's on the rolls. And so,
when do they
get inactive?
COVID, the life expectancy is actually going the other way. Where are these 100-year-old people coming from?
Right.
Anyway, and then another thing that they do not track is total number of envelopes that are received that possess the standard U.S. Postal Service postmark stamp. That would be the one in the top with the date, and it's round and stuff like that. Because most ballots all the ballots are mailed out via bulk mail permit.
Right.
But that doesn't mean once they're processed from the voter, because the voter can put their ballot doesn't have to come in that particular same envelope. It can come in another envelope, right, like a larger manila, but then the registrar's envelope and ballot can be inside there. So
I gotcha.
So there's ways that ballots can come back in with an envelope with a regular postmark. Remember, postmarking is very key in our law on when postmark ballots can come in, and at some point those postmark ballots are late and they can no longer be counted due to the postmark date. So they don't track that either. See, what else don't they? They do not track total number of envelopes processed. They do not track total number of envelopes rejected. And they can be rejected due to damage, due to signature issues.
Do they reject them if they don't have enough postage?
The post office does that. Post office rejects. Now, again, if they come back in via the registrar's bulk mail permit, then there's no postal fee issues there because they're already paid. But so, and by the way, when envelopes get rejected, they do go in. Bob Holsinger will confirm this. They go into a separate pile and then they get reprocessed manually. Rejected means they get processed through one of the automated machines and the machine kicks them out for something.
Okay.
And that's a rejection, but they don't track that. They don't track that. They also do not track. They also do not track. There's a special fluorescent barcode that usually comes with bulk mail, bulk permit mail.
Yeah.
So if you
deal with it.
You deal with all kinds of mail. So you see that little weird barcode? It's usually like a light orange in color. That's actually a postal stamp. That's actually a date stamp. It's almost like it's like UPC code or a barcode. That's just a special code that, and Kathy Darling Allen's office has the reader to read that very special code. And the postmark's in there, the date, the processing facilities, et cetera, is in there. they don't track that either.
Wow.
So,
out of all these things, it really comes down to what
do they track? Yeah, that's...
Well, by state and federal law, they're mandated to track several things. So, and usually the machines track those automatically, and then they just hit print. Another thing I asked for was a daily report. I wanted a daily report of, it was a lot. Trust me, it was like 22 separate items.
When you say daily report, like how many ballots are coming in?
Yep.
How many are being processed?
Yep.
How many are rejected?
Yep.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I have 22 separate points, and I asked for my Records Act to be done daily, starting the first day after the ballots went out for Modi. And they came back with some state court precedent that says they are not mandated to provide me that on a daily basis.
Oh.
So I'm not going to get the daily stats, and that's what I needed. I really needed the daily stats because when things happen daily in there, that's really where it's going to be helpful to catch the anomalies and everything else.
Right.
But,
yeah.
So they're going to give me what's called the aggregate stats at the end of the election period. But I'm going to be giving them some more Records Act requests because I can get around that. I can get around that denial. So I will be doing more Records Acts for her in her office here very soon. So, the whole reason for this is, again, we just want to keep her on her toes. There's other people keeping her on her toes. California Election Integrity keeping her on her toes.
Which they need to be.
New California is keeping her on her toes with the affidavits that they have sent to her showing that she has violated her oath of office. So Kathy's under a lot of pressure right now, and she should be, because we all know how bad the voter election integrity is. It's just about gone. So, anyways, that's really it for this particular document, and we'll see what more comes out of it.
Before we move on, I do want to say that we all appreciate everything that you're doing, all the requests that you're doing, all the work, not just you, but there's several of you involved. And we really appreciate, because I know it takes a lot of time and effort to do that, to get that information and deal with them so we can get it out to the people. So, again,
I want to thank everybody else. There's many pieces to this puzzle to take our county back.
Right.
And I'm only one piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. And we all have our specialties. We all get good at certain things, and we're capitalizing on that. So we've got a great team of patriots in Shasta County that are doing this. So I want to appreciate everybody else also.
Well, and your journalism site.
Let Shasta County Citizen Journalist.
And where can we find you?
Facebook, Minds, Gab. I started an account on Getter. Brighton.social. I'm also on there. Those are some great alternative social media sites, by the way. We're going to be abandoning Facebook soon, very soon. But unfortunately, too many it's old dog and new tricks thing. Just so many people just can't get off of Facebook. It's like crack, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they just get so used to it that they
Here's the problem: is people end up keeping their entire lives on these platforms that are using them to abuse them and sell their information and their data. I mean, you look at it, and they've got their kids' pictures going back 10, 15 years that are on this platform, and they're so invested in it because it represents such a big part of their history
and their identities.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's their identities now, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's everything.
And you look at the way that the world is moving right now, how do you communicate with people? And there's actually some national stories I'd like to hit later on in the program that are actually dealing with a lot of these and a lot of these things that people are seeing. I mean, the amount of information that they have over you. I mean, I was listening to a story about a 15-year-old girl whose dad was getting information in the mail about how she was pregnant and maternity planning that there was a lawsuit over because he's like, why are you sending my daughter this stuff? Well, turns out she's pregnant. She wasn't looking it up any diapers or anything like that, but these keywords that she'd look up and be interested in were things that they triggered as signs that, hey, this girl is pregnant. And so her dad ended up finding out she was pregnant before she even ended up knowing, and that's the type of control these people have over you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So
I find it hard. She didn't know she was pregnant. Sorry.
She didn't, but what it was is she was
looking up. I've had three kids. yeah, you know.
Well, 15-year-old looking up why she's interested in pickles and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
And so, I mean, I don't know.
Peanut butter mayonnaise.
Yeah. So with that, I guess we do need to go to Travis is busy.
No, what happened was
you still got like 10 minutes. Yes. I thought it was a different show.
Yeah, we go to the half right on this show.
Right. I wasn't even looking. Okay, so we don't have to go to a break, so we will move along. But we got it covered. Yeah. No problem. Yeah. All right.
I should have brought you in one of these rebels.
Make sure it's sugar-free.
Yeah.
Sugar-free.
No,
I got you.
That program's this afternoon at 2, Travis.
Yes, I got you.
Yeah, okay. All right. So moving along, what else you got, Rich?
Oh, plenty. Are you kidding me?
I know you do.
Are you kidding me? So I'm going to insert some opinion here. These death threats that have come with Modi and Rickert recently. So I remember Les Baugh, he received a death threat, 3 weeks ago or so, prior to the January 4th demolition meeting, I'll call it. And here's my opinion. Les Baugh was probably threatened by one of the local socialists that are supporting the quote-unquote Republicans, Modi, Rickert, Rickert, Chimete and Modi. Anyways, and so what I think happened, I think that's probably a legitimate threat to Les Baugh, because ever since Patrick got in, Les Baugh's voting record has changed, not to the socialist liking. Now, these remember the demolition derby we had on the 4th with Modi, as the ringleader. He did himself so much damage that day. It's immense damage. Immense damage. And his narcissism and his arrogance ruled the day. And now he's paying for it, okay?
Shucks.
I can tell you what's happened. As soon as that meeting was over, Pontes, Cruz, and everybody, all the swamp creatures, called, his phone blew up and said, Leonard, what on earth did you, you're in the middle of a recall. What are you doing? You are destroying yourself. And since you're the head of the snake, Leonard, you're destroying the swamp. And so what I believe these new, death threats on Rickert and Modi are, I believe it is they're trying to gain sympathy votes to minimize the damage that happened on the 4th. I think it's a Jesse Smollett thing, where the same socialists that are supporting Modi and Rickert probably initiated those death threats. That is my humble opinion is what is happening, because that is the logical step after Modi stepped in it. He didn't step in it. He dove in headfirst with his mouth open on the 4th. And this is the logical next step in order to for damage control. So I think that's what's happening.
It could be. It's hard telling.
But I'm never going to be able to prove it, but I think that's what's happening. And
Do I think they get death threats? Yeah, I truly believe that. Yeah, I mean, that's not uncommon.
Yeah, but just look at the sequence of the order of things, of how things are happening. These death threats are awful convenient with the timing. That's all I got to say.
Well, and there's elements of this, too. The FBI is being brought in on this, supposedly, based upon what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, because what we've been seeing from the FBI recently is, so you had, I believe it was the three percenters that were trapped in a situation to where you had almost half of the people that were in this group to kidnap that governor was FBI people, and when you look at the data and the records on it, the FBI people were the ones that were coming up with the plan and saying we need to do this and all the rest of this. Well, very interestingly, the guy who was in Arizona, the lead of this, actually it was not Arizona, Michigan, I think.
Witless.
Whitmore?
Witless. Governor Witless.
And so he was the same guy who was in charge of the January 6th thing. Right afterwards. I mean, it's so very, very telling. And then you have this guy who was clearly out and out on January 5th calling for people to storm the Capitol building and go in the Capitol building, Ray Epps, that the FBI releases blurry photo of and implores the public to find this guy. Within about 3 days, the public found this guy. But they claim they didn't have any other information on him or any other videos in a place like Washington, D.C. that has video footage and camera everywhere. Yeah. They release a blurry photo in 2022. It's about as bad a story as any of these videos that are blurry in 2022 of the UFO in the sky.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that thing over there. It looks like the flipping moon on a reflection, and you see a blurry thing over here. And so they find this guy, and then what do they do with him afterwards? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
They trace him back, and this is what we see right now. So we've got the FBI looking into this situation over here now. But my problem with it is what have we seen recently from the FBI this entire time? Why are they even involved in a local thing? How many times here at the station have we gotten death threats, and have we had people that are telling us that they're going to kill us and our families and otherwise? That actually happens pretty often. That's happened to Travis while he's in here. You're going to die, man. You're going to have this happen. And you know what happens when we report it? Absolutely nothing.
Oh, I need my crickets. I need my cricket noise.
Mm-hmm.
Cue the crickets. Hey, so remember the FBI here locally, since about November of 2020, remember we, several of us, about nine of us, have had visits from law enforcement at our doors.
Correct.
To include the FBI visiting some of our militia leaders, a lawful militia, by the way, per the
California. Leaders, not just militia, but other
correct,
leaders.
Correct, but the FBI specifically visited the militia leaders, an organized lawful militia per the California Constitution. And they're out, and they're public. The militia here is public because they're lawful, and they're patriots. But the local FBI visited them. No ruses, no, we've had complaints. No, just like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, are you the militia so-and-so and this and that? And actually they are. And that's all it was. It was just a, hey, yeah, we're here. We know where you work. We know where you live kind of a deal. I mean, it was just weird.
Well, I wonder if we're going to get any updates to what they find out or not find out in regards to these death threats. If you listen to the last program, Patrick's gotten them, and nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
So is it going to go anywhere? Are we going to get any updates?
So what will happen if my scenario is true, and it's the socialists, and it's a Jesse Smollett scenario, the news release we're going to hear is going to say, well, we've looked into it, and we found that they were not found out not to be credible, or they're going to come up with something just to dismiss it, and it's going to go away.
Well, and this is what we always end up seeing. It's like this whole situation right now with the Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and the rest of it. So now the latest on that is she's now saying, oh, well, she's not going to protect 8 John Does or something like that. So they're going to selectively identify 8 people to try to make the story a little bit better. But it's all of this. It's all corruption at all levels of our government right now that it's shocking. It should be shocking. It should make you have a sick taste in your mouth to realize just how corrupt, even down to the local level.
Yep.
I mean, understanding this.
Well, that just tells you what it must be like up at the top, because if you take our local and you can see. Yeah,
it is a funnel. It's a conduit.
How much corruption there is here that we're having to deal with, and we have just begun to touch the layers of corruption.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not just the Board of Supervisors or the Elections Office, you know, here in Shasta County. It's going to go across the board. Yeah. I mean, it's massive.
The amount of money and the amount of people that are on the take. I mean, just to give you guys an idea, I didn't come into this being a political activist. I got invited on the show, what was it now, about 2 years
ago? A couple
of
years, yeah.
And it was something to where I came on just having some information and following up on stories, thought it would be interesting, and got involved.
They needed a gamer. They needed a gamer on the show for some
balance. We needed a younger gamer person because we don't game.
And we got him. We got him.
Well, I hate to tell you, 15 years ago, we didn't plan on coming this far. We started with the Tea Party about 15 years ago, doing a rally on Cypress Avenue, So.
Well, and it's interesting to me, too, because when I got into this, I didn't think I'd be here every week. I surely didn't think I'd be here every week. And now every weekend, it's, hey, come on in here and do this. And we're not getting paid to do this. We didn't get paid to go out and do that rally yesterday to try to get Modi out of there.
Yeah.
The people that I've met throughout this whole process, be it the militia members who I've watched personally and helped personally clean up our city after the fires, who handed out bottles of water, these are the people that these local news organizations want to demonize and say are the problem. However, these local news organizations, when you look at who their ownership is, they're not local, folks.
Nope.
They're a part of the same exact system. So anytime I'm doing a rally or anytime things like that are going on, I intentionally don't invite them because they're just going to spin a narrative. I've watched them personally take pictures of people and make it look like 15 people showed up to an event when there was over 1,000. I've watched the level of corruption within our city, the spinning and the twisting and contorting of facts out of their words to demonize anybody that they disagree with, and you see the amount of big money that is working to try to keep these crooks in power. It's scary and it's frightening, and even the business owners here are scared. That should tell you something.
Yeah.
Now, with that, we do have to go to a break.
All right, and then we'll pick this up and go over some more information that you got over there, Rich, the local level. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io. Or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's Bitcoin530.io.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Lately, USA is getting scarier. Half of the Americans I see all hate America. They hate the cops doing their best to take care of us and kneel for the flag and salt the soldiers that we're burying. I'm tired of the fishing and complaining. Why you living in America if all you do is hate it? You think it's brave to take a stand against the nation? Real bravery is dying for the right so you can say it. Dear America, what happened to Americans? Apparently no one's aware or cares that it's embarrassing. It's arrogance. Our greatest enemy was always slavery and terrorists. And now it's people in the country trying to burn the heritage. I can't help it. I just seem to see the world different.
You gotta love a little bit of Tom McDonald. Okay, so I got a story for you real quick on this one. So apparently Rolling Stone wrote an article about the worst songs in 2021. And it was awesome because he comes out with a video. Of course, his song Fake Woke hit number one charts on nearly every single platform. So much so that they actually had to take down the top charts for his area. Because he was selling so many records of fake woke, because people were wanting his music exactly the way it was. Well, they ended up putting his music as number one for the worst song, and he just calls back. He goes, "Hey, Nova, guess what? We're number one on Rolling Stone." It's like, yes.
Thanks for the free advertising.
Yeah. Exactly.
There you go. All right, so let's take it back locally. What else do you want to go over, Rich?
Well, I just resent you that email, so while you're waiting for that, I'll have a couple other things, but the main part of this half hour is going to be talking about a three-page letter that I wrote, sent to the Board of Supervisors, to the sheriff also, by the way, and we'll be discussing a particular law passed late last year that Mr. Modi is using to go virtual on Tuesday. So we'll get there in just a second. But so a couple of quick updates. My police impersonator update, I'm still waiting to hear back from Reading Police to see what's going on with that case. Allegedly, it has gone to the DA. But I have had no written updates or any updates from RPD on that. I don't know why they don't like talking to me. My highway patrol, Dave Marin, citizen's arrest. He's the healthcare worker I citizen's arrested for filing a false police report on citizen journalists last January. I'm still waiting to hear back from highway patrol. It's like I keep asking for updates, and I'm actually going to visit them in person on Tuesday and ask the sergeant in person, "Where's my update? It's over 3 months old. And I don't know where if they have finished processing that citizen's arrest and sent it to the DA. I don't know. These people don't like talking to me for some reason. But I did get an update from the sheriff. Remember on a couple of meetings ago at the microphone, I looked at the sheriff and I said, "Sheriff, it's been 3 months since I filed that felony complaint against former Sheriff Basenko and current employee Sean Paisley."
Right.
"Hey, Sheriff, it's been 3 months. I've had zero response. I've been asking for an update." And he called me 2 days later, so I thank him for doing that. And I did not speak to him. I let it go to voicemail because everything needs to be on record. But he profusely apologized for the delays and said there's no excuse. And he has moved that investigation to a sergeant who works on the third floor with him so that he can personally monitor the status. So let's see where this goes. I have a prediction, but I'm not going to say it over the air right now. What I think is going to happen with this felony complaint against Basenko and Paisley. Oh, and also conspiracy to commit a felony. Two counts apiece, by the way. And just so everybody knows, I turned in the evidence with the complaint. So the evidence is there. They don't have to go asking, and it's a document. The whole basis of this entire felony case is a document. And they have it. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the sheriff does. If he's smart, he will say, yes, there's enough here to establish probable cause that a felony has been committed, and he will send it to the DA. If he's smart, because if he either stalls this by June, remember the sheriff's up for election. So if he stalls this up till June without giving me a disposition, probably not going to look good for him on his reelection campaign. So because he's up for election, I think he's going to do the smart thing and kick it to the DA. Oh, by the way, she's up for election, too.
Yeah.
Oh, well, go figure, right? All these cases I have, legitimate cases, of course, I'm former military police. I absolutely would not have done any of these things if I didn't know I had a solid case. And I have a rock-solid case on all of these. And I'm hoping they all make it to the DA.
Well, they may is she going to do anything about it?
Is she up for election this year?
Yeah,
she's up for election this year. Let's see if she's going to hold 1, 2, 3 government, 4 government employees. Excuse me. Let's see if she holds these 4 government employees to account for their actions for violating the law. Yeah, do you see where this goes, folks? Boy, are we not playing some checkers and chess here in Chess County? Yeah, we are.
Well, it's very interesting the amount of anarcho-tyranny that has been shown over these last 2 years and what we've seen taking place. I mean, anarcho-tyranny, for the folks that don't know what that means, it means the law being applied to one group of people while not being applied to another group of people, thereby making it to where one group of people is being targeted specifically.
Absolutely.
So you've got January 6th, you've got literally anybody on our side.
Yeah. And our DA is notorious for Splashgate, right? She's notorious for not doing the right thing. So
yeah. With that, we do have a caller. We've got Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning, guys. Rich, I just have a clarification. I could have missed it. What is the felony that Basenko allegedly committed. Did you already explain that, or did I miss it?
No, I did not. It's Penal Code 115, filing a false instrument, which is a document. Filing a false document, which is a felony in California.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. Yeah, just trying to...
Can you tell us what the document was?
That's about a 15-minute conversation, which we'll have to have another day.
Okay.
I will. Absolutely, I will.
Okay.
Yeah, another day.
All right.
So thanks, Terry.
Is that all you got, Terry?
Well, yeah, and I think that the corruption of the DA, I want to hear more about that, of course. I mean, the simple fact that there were thousands and thousands of dollars spent on the Carlos Zapata trial, the simple fact that, oh, there is that antique fire engine, if you guys know what I'm talking about. What happened there? Why is it that Modi got everything lowered to a misfeasance? I'd like to hear you guys expound on that. I know Rich has a lot in his quiver with that. But the corruption, and I believe, and a lot of people believe, in the DA's office is beyond the pale. And I'll just take my answers off the air.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. I think the corruption, I'm sorry, Rich, I think the corruption, it's beyond on all levels.
Yeah.
And that's what's been the problem all along.
Well, we're 30 years into not paying attention to our local politics, so we're a generation into this corruption at the local level. So it's very deep-seated.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a while to clean it out. But this year, 2022, it's a pivotal year for Shasta County.
Well, yeah, I don't think that Leonard Modi, for one, thought that he would get recalled. I think he thought he was above that. And I still think he thinks that he's not going to get recalled, but I hate to tell him, I think you are.
I think we're going to have a Trump 2016 moment here where, regardless of the questionable elections activities in our registrar's office, I think we're going to have a Trump moment where the people are just had it with Modi. He's 40 years a swamp creature now. He has made a lot of enemies. And he thinks he's liked. People only get along with him because people benefit from him or they're afraid of him. Because he is a very powerful person. He's the one that goes to Sacramento for the CSAC meetings. And so he's made a lot of powerful allies, evil allies, at Sacramento and in Silicon Valley. So he is a powerful person. But, you know, powerful people, they fall just like anybody else.
Yeah, and I hate to tell them, you know, there's a lot of us patriots that are standing by that if we have to do hand count on the election, it's not going to be a problem. It wouldn't be the first time that we sat there and did a hand count.
Yep.
Probably won't be the last.
Yeah, when we're that's always a possibility to do a hand count. But I'm really hoping that the overwhelming majority of people Modi's chickens are coming home to roost, I think. And I hope that's what happens, that he loses just because, you know what, he's put himself in this position. Right. Everything he's done and not done, okay, it's like what you say is important. It's also what you don't say.
Yeah.
What you do is important. It's also what you don't do.
And I think some of the people that have been intimidated by him in the past are even getting past that and starting to stand up.
Absolutely.
And come forward more about what's gone on.
People are coming on because
they are.
Those of us that have been in, you've been in since the beginning with the Tea Party, but the last 2 years, right, this groundswell we've had with local activism, it's further emboldening other people. And Modi he's diving in head first, like I said, with his mouth open. And the fourth, he absolutely just destroyed a lot of his work he's tried to do in 40 years. He destroyed a lot of that on the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about this coming Tuesday, maybe, about the meeting or lack thereof that he's trying to shut it down, not to have the public in there, that we have to do by virtual. You know, all of a sudden, COVID's rampant, and we got to close the chambers down.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the email?
Yes.
I sent it twice. So
I'm just now trying to get it to open.
Okay. So this letter I sent to the Board of Supervisors, to the sheriff, and this has to do with Assembly Bill 361. It was passed September of 2021 as an urgency statute because there's a coal virus out there, you know. So they had to pass it. It was urgent. So what this bill basically does is it allows local government entities and state entities, state commissions and committees also, but for our purposes, local, allows them to go virtual with their public meetings. And the two elements in this law, Assembly Bill 361, that are required to go virtual is there has to be a state of emergency in place, a general state of emergency. It does not even have to be a health state of emergency, just a
emergency.
State of emergency. And as we all know, there's always states of emergencies in place, whether it be from a wildfire, a flood, a drought, hazardous materials cleanups, and each one of those individually usually lasts several years. So that's kind of a gimme, right? There's always a state of emergency in place. And the second component to this law is that a government official must recommend social distancing. That's it. I mean, how weird, how arbitrary is that?
Mm-hmm.
Those two elements, and you can go virtual, teleconference. So Modi has invoked this law, and if you read the agenda for Tuesday, you'll see the verbiage in the Tuesday's agenda that mirrors this very law. That's how I know he invoked this law, because of the verbiage that is in the agenda that I've never seen before until now, with this law that just passed 4 months ago.
It doesn't surprise me even in the slightest, after being there personally, watching him, listening to all of the business owners, all of the employees, all of the nurses, all of the people who are losing their jobs, who had already lost their jobs, and they couldn't even be bothered to look up from their cell phones while these people are telling them their plights about how they've been in this their job all of their lives, and they're losing their retirements, they're losing their home, they're losing their vehicles, they're losing everything they've worked for, and this guy can't even be bothered to look up from his cell phone, and now he doesn't even want to be bothered to be in the same room with them.
They've canceled meetings before. Canceled meetings when they knew there was going to be 300 healthcare workers there. They just, no meeting. Really? So
with this in place right now, it's looking like that we won't be able to get into the chambers for the meeting on Tuesday, but that's not totally true either.
Absolutely. In this very same law, and I'm not going to bore everybody with the codes and the subsections and the paragraphs, but it's in this three-page letter. In this very same law, it also says that they are not required, they being the board, they are not required to provide a teleconferencing location. And listen to those words, are very key. They're not required to provide. But also in this law it says they are not prohibited from providing a teleconferencing location. So they're not required to do it, but they're not prohibited from doing it. The words mean things in the law, okay? Just like the Constitution and everything else, right? Every word, every comma, every semicolon, everyone means something. So you have to literally read these several times. So this very same law that he's using to go virtual on us can be used by a local official. The verbiage is a local official may offer teleconferencing locations. Local official.
A local official can be...
Happens to be Patrick Jones. And he says, I want to be in the chambers. Because Patrick can pick that as his teleconferencing location for himself, regardless of us.
It doesn't limit where that location
shall be. No, absolutely not. So that very same law that Mr. Modi is using to go virtual, we actually can also use to open the chambers as our teleconferencing location. So it's not prohibited. So I'm hoping, and you heard Patrick a little bit ago on the previous show, he's gonna look into that. He may entertain that opportunity to open the chambers again. Now, we may or may not. We're still going to show up for the meeting. Absolutely. But
we're still asking for people to show up Tuesday.
Tuesday morning, 9 a.m.
Yeah.
It's 1450 Court Street.
Exactly.
This is going to be, we've had so many just huge, huge board meetings in the last year and a half, right? I mean, I'm always talking about like my top three, my top five board meetings, right? Obviously, when the recall was submitted, that was, that's way up there. But we've just had so many bombshell meetings. I think this is going to be one of the top five meetings we've had in the last year and a half because of what Modi has done.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be big.
Yeah, and people are starting to see it, in, like we were talking earlier, standing up more and more and get involved, taking off from work, whatever they have to do, because this is so in our face. He was so arrogant. When you look at the video, I wasn't there for the meeting, but when you look... How arrogant and smug he is.
Oh, yeah. Watch his...
Yeah.
Watch Modi when Les Baugh confronts Modi. It's in that 3-minute video that Red, White, and Blue did. When Les Baugh confronts Modi and says, with respect, sir, you're the chair and you're going to do what you're going to do. Watch Modi how he does his little head bob in reading body language. That's his head bob that he was doing, and his head shake was yeah, you're right. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. It was an arrogant nod and a shake mm-hmm. of his head. Watch that. You just have to watch it, and you're going to, ooh.
And as soon as he got put into the chair, you notice the mask come off.
Yeah.
But yeah. Now we have a COVID problem. And then at the end, almost at the very end, when he gets up and he's leaving his chair, the look
ooh.
On his face,
ooh.
That
ooh.
Grin,
ooh.
If you want to call it. Yeah.
See, he can't help himself.
He is
so narcissistic
yes,
and arrogant.
He
can't help himself. He stepped in it. I mean, I'm not going to repeat myself, but he stepped in it so bad on the floor. He can't help himself. And that look that he gave on video, same thing. He yeah. can't help himself.
The interruptions he did with the people,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
when they had their 3 minutes, he stopped everybody. He yeah. interrupted every single
yeah.
one of those speakers, you know.
So let me cover one more part of this
okay.
law real quick.
Go.
This very same law, AB 361, legislative bodies shall conduct teleconferencing meetings in a manner that protects the statutory and constitutional rights of the parties and the public appearing. So, even though he's going virtual, okay, in this very law, this law is telling these local entities, you better protect their rights, the people's rights, okay? Even though we're making it virtual, you better protect their rights. It's right in this very same law. So freedom of speech, freedom of assembly,
say, yeah.
right? We have issues. So that's in this very same law. Regarding the virtual on Tuesday, City of Reading's meeting Tuesday night, I read their agenda. Guess what? They're meeting in person. I looked at a handful of our school board meetings that are happening this week. Guess what? The vast majority of them are in person.
Oh, but
why is it only the Shasta County Board
yeah, it only
that takes
up,
seats
at
out?
14, 15,
that, yeah.
Court
why is it only the chamber, the board chambers, that takes seats out, puts up the gloomy $9,000 plexiglass? Where's that, by the way?
Yeah.
And locks us out, happenstance, arbitrarily through the season, whether it be hot, cold, rainy, it doesn't matter. Why is it only the Shasta County? Yeah, I think we all know the answer to that question, don't we?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Absolutely.
I think we do. It's just amazing. And then the last part of this is they're required to review this every 30 days. So if they're going to remain virtual due to a state of emergency and due to social distancing recommendations, they're required in this law to vote and review it every 30 days. So they can't just go virtual in perpetuity with no further
right.
action. They have to vote on it, and they have to review it every 30 days.
So then the new people coming in, after we do the recall on the first, can go, no more.
I hope they turn this county upside down, because it needs to be at many levels.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, what I've been noticing more and more through this is that these people surround themselves with people that they either coerce or that they end up getting them favors and getting them positions and getting them things to where they surround themselves with an aura of protection around
Absolutely.
Them so that you constantly have these people that take these falls.
Mm-hmm.
So you see it on the local level and you see it at the upper levels. I mean, you've got these people like the aide to Hillary, Uma Abedin, that ends up getting a better office after she's caught doing something wrong, takes the fall for that, and then goes there. You end up looking at what's going
That's
on.
That's the way
locally.
It works in government, right?
So I've got a Records Act request in. I'm going to get a copy of all the committees and commissions
in the county
that our Board of Supervisors has authority to either appoint on an emergency basis or on a full-time basis, because there are committees and commissions that the board has that oversight on.
Right.
And then I'm going to get all the names of everybody on those committees and commissions.
Do we even...
And then I'm going to be connecting dots. I'm going to be connecting swap dots.
Do we even have an idea how many that is?
Well, that's part of the Records Act request.
Right, but we don't know.
It's coming, and I will put that out for public consumption. So we're going to – that's part of what I do with these Records Acts. I'm exposing a lot of things that normally people don't ask, but I'm asking the questions. And another thing on Mr. Modi, what I expect on Tuesday is he's going to reduce the 3-minute public comment time probably to a minute. And unfortunately,
He can. And I love Gary Catt.
He's been showing up and speaking, but, you know, I am looking at these laws real time as they change. I'm looking at the laws as they're coming in, going to committee, going to hearings and being passed. Urgency, not non-urgency. Shasta County Administrative Policy 1-101. That is the policy that governs the Shasta County board meetings. That policy is about 18 or 20 pages. That policy has been voted on, by the board. The board votes and majority votes, and that policy runs those meetings. So with the Brown Act and this Shasta County Administrative Policy, that's what runs these meetings. And per the Brown Act and per this policy, Mr. Modi, unfortunately, has the autonomous authority to change the public comment time. There does not need to be a board vote on this. It's not in the policy nor the Brown Act. So I expect Mr. Modi to change all of our public comment time, probably down to 1 minute apiece. Why? Because he does not want to hear from us.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, he has that authority as chair.
But fortunately, he only has this one meeting. Then we have a recall.
Well, hopefully.
And then we have some new person, a new person taking his place.
I hope so. So, yeah, Mr.
So
Modi.
So we have to stress that people need to vote.
Yes. And let me remind.
Vote in person.
I'll remind Bob Holsinger, Election Integrity California. He tells everybody, take your mail-in ballot, whether you get it at home or wherever you get your mail-in ballot. Take that physical ballot you have received. Go to the registrar's office. You can early vote now. Take that particular ballot. Go to the registrar's office. Open that ballot and vote that particular ballot in person. Or on Election Day on the 1st, take that very same ballot and don't hand it in. Don't hand in that ballot and get a provisional. Absolutely not. You open up that original mail-in ballot you received and you vote that ballot at the precinct. So that's going to be a huge
thing. But that's on Election Day.
On Election Day. You can early vote now in the registrar's office, or you can vote on Election Day at the precinct. But vote the very physical ballot that was mailed to you. Mm-hmm. That's very important.
And it's very important to check the box for the recall.
Yes on Modi.
Yes. Yes.
Also, I have a question. It's only District 2, right?
That is correct.
Make sure people make sure
the
say
old
that.
District the, 2 the, lines, yeah. not the new lines.
There you go.
It's the old lines, yes. And both of those maps are on the county elections website. You can look at the old District 2 lines because they're appropriate to this current recall.
Yes.
And then the new district maps are also on there. So make sure you look, you click on the 2011 district map lines, and then the 2021 lines. Those are the new ones, not applicable.
So not until after the recall.
Not until after the recall.
The other thing, I want to implore everybody listening, okay, so if you are getting multiple ballots or you're not in that district and you're receiving ballots, we want to hear about it.
Yes.
We want to hear about everything that's going on so we can get in front of this because we don't want another 2020 happening. We
please contact me. I'm happy to collect that information. 962-5168, I believe, is our hotline number. Shasta County Citizen Journalist. Our email is sccj@protonmail.com. Please get a hold of me. I will compile any information, questionable election activities for this recall. I'm going to compile all that. And again, if we have to go to manual hand recount, appeal, everything.
Yeah, no problem.
All that information is going to be key.
And that was at Proton Mail, ProtonMail.
And the tip line is 530-962-5168.
Hey, I got it right.
You got it right. I just wanted to make sure.
Out of the six phone numbers I have, I got it right.
Hey,
and this
so
takes
there you
all
go.
Of us, you guys.
I mean, it does.
We've seen this in the past. We have historical precedents for dealing with corrupt people. And this is, by all means, following every law, everything that we can do within our liberties and within our rights to do. We are
it's
doing
our
that
duty.
Making
it's
it.
Our duty to
it's
do it.
Duty.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Roberta. Good morning, Roberta.
Good morning, Linda. Well, quickly, I want to remind people, if you've not checked on your voter registration, you might consider doing it. I spent 4 months recovering from an injury in Southern California, had my mail forwarded there. However, when I come back, I found out that I was not on the voter list anymore. And in calling, they told me that my ballot for the last election, last in August, had been returned to them undeliverable. So check on your registration, folks.
Yep, that's a good tip, Roberta. We appreciate that information.
Thanks for having me in today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Right. Thank you, Roberta.
All right, thanks, Roberta. We're coming at the top of the hour, and so we're there. Thanks again, Rich, for coming in.
You're welcome.
Keep us updated on to what's happening, and hopefully we will see everybody on Tuesday out there at 1450 Court Street. With that, we'll go to a break. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Donald Trump on the stump out west last night.
Former President Trump returned to Arizona, a cradle of his political movement, to headline a rally in the desert that has been a striking testament to his continued popularity in that state.
I love Arizona. We had a tremendous victory in Arizona that was taken away. I just want to wish everybody a happy new year.
Three Arizona Republican political luminaries all spoke before the former president at the rally. It was his first stadium-style political event held so far in this midterm election year. He's scheduled to hold another one in Texas on January 29th. Bernie Bennett reporting.
The World Bank is downgrading its outlook for the global economy.
The 189-country anti-poverty agency forecasts worldwide economic growth of 4.1% this year. That's down from the 4.3% growth it was forecasting last June. The World Bank blames continuing outbreaks of COVID-19, a reduction in government economic support, and ongoing bottlenecks in global supply chains. The forecast is also down from the 5.5% expansion it estimates the global economy tallied in 2021.
Correspondent Jeremy House. A dangerous winter storm combining high winds and ice sweeping through parts of the South today. Already widespread power outages down trees and coatings on roads. Tens of thousands of customers without power in Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida. Forecasters say more than an inch of snow fell per hour in some parts, and the storm continues to move upward into the Mid-Atlantic region now. The tsunami threat around the Pacific from a huge undersea volcanic eruption has receded, but the massive ash cloud covering the tiny island nation of Tonga is preventing surveillance flights from New Zealand to assess the extent of the damage there. More on these stories at townhall.com.
So I invested in one of those fancy new exercise bikes. Without a doubt, a very special tool to help me get healthier. The problem is 3 days go by, then four, and I've done nothing. And then it's night five, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and I look down at myself, and I can't help but just laugh. Because there I am, wearing the exercise t-shirt that came with the bike, and I'm eating two corn dogs. And I think we'd all agree, the special tool only matters if we use it to our benefit. At United Faith Mortgage, we believe we have an advantageous tool for you. Our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions. There's no middleman. And often, this allows us to get you a better rate on your refinance or new home purchase, which can save you monthly and lifelong money. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
The so-called pharma bro is about to have to get out his checkbook.
A federal judge ordered Martin Shkreli to return $64.6 million in profits reaped from inflating the price of a life-saving drug and barred him from the pharmaceutical industry for the rest of his life. Friday's ruling comes several weeks after a bench trial in December brought on by the Federal Trade Commission, along with New York, California, Illinois, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. A smirking Shkreli often defended raising the price of Daraprim as capitalism at work. Ron DeRockster reporting.
Ibrahim Boubacar Keita, the former president of Mali, took office in a landmark election held after a destabilizing coup, only to be run out by another coup 7 years later, has died. He was 76 years old. His death comes as the sprawling African nation faces a deepening political crisis yet again. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A tennis legend says she's battling cancer.
In a story posted on ESPN.com, tennis star and TV analyst Chris Evert is revealing that she was diagnosed with an early stage of ovarian cancer. The 67-year-old Hall of Famer won 18 Grand Slam titles and was the number one women's tennis player for years in the 1970s and 80s. She told journalist Chris McEndry, she learned of the cancer last month and this week began chemotherapy treatments. Her sister Jean's untimely death from ovarian cancer in 2020 eventually led Evert to discover she too shares a pathogenic variant of the BRCA1 gene. She had a preventive hysterectomy in early December, and her cancer was discovered soon afterward. In the ESPN story, Evert admitted to being nervous, saying she has no idea how she'll respond, but takes comfort in knowing the chemotherapy is to ensure that the cancer does not come back. I'm Jennifer King.
Today is Sunday, January the 16th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including Hall of Fame auto racer A.J. Foyt. He's 87. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Thousands on my right, thousands by my side. War between good and evil, watching our fists collide. Battle for our freedom now, to the streets we ride. Flags waving all around, pages full of pride. This is where we make a stand, no more give or take. March around the Capitol, storm the city gates. Putting pressure on their necks until the truth breaks. All walls of corruption, take out all the snakes. Star Spangled Banner, got a plan loud and proud. People from all walks of life filling up the crowd. Defend the Constitution, many warriors devout. Casting down any among us who have bucked and cow. Enough with tyranny, we come and take our country back. For all citizens, white, red, brown, or black. Return it to a form of glory, fix the bloody crack. On the crown, fetch it down, it's going down.
And we're back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. Topher Patriot.
Yep, I just found that for you, bud.
Dude. Topher's awesome. I mean, we have so much good music and such good people that are wanting to stand up for this nation right now that are actively putting themselves in harm's way of an administration, of people who are corrupt within our Justice Department, of people that are looking to silence any narratives that go against them. Now, this next hour, we're going to get into a lot of the information that is both national, federal, and worldwide that is going over and happening over this last week. And before we get into that, we have a few announcements that are coming up.
Yeah, we do. I just want to get out there. We do have a recall rally coming tomorrow. That's Monday, January 17th, from 11:30 to 12:30. We're going to be at the corner of Pacelli Lane and South Bonneview Road. Also coming on Saturday, January 22nd, there's going to be a forum, and I believe it's over at the Pathway Church. I'm not positive. Maybe somebody can call in on that, but it's a COVID-19 forum with some doctors over there, and that's going to go on from 2 to 4 p.m. Again, that is Saturday, January 22nd at 777 Loma Vista here in Reading, and it's a panel of doctors, and they're going to be discussing the mandates and vaccines and things like that, and it's free to the public. So if anybody's got more information on that, like Krista, if you want to call in and give us an update on that, that would be great. So those are the two announcements that I had.
Perfect. I also have one where my wife has actually been in charge of setting it up for these last 6 years. So we're doing the 6th annual March for Life, and it's going to be taking place on January 29th, and it's going to be at 777 Cypress Avenue. So that time is going to be, let me see, it starts at 9:30 a.m. until 12.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I do have one more. We've talked about cryptocurrency on here. Mm-hmm. I do a show with a couple people, a couple friends in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, but we also have a summit coming in March, March 18th and 19th at Wind River. So I just want to put it out there. I know a lot of people are trying to find out where to go to get more information, learn about it. This is going to be an awesome event. We have like 12 influencers that's going to be there that's going to cover all different areas of cryptocurrency.
Well, and I'll tell you something else, especially with what's going on and some of the things we're going to talk about, like with what's going on with Mike Lindell and with others. Right now, they are using the banking system and they are using the monetary system to go after individuals and to shut them down completely and give them no avenue in which they can actually live their lives. So for those of you that are not aware, Mike Lindell just had leaked information on calls that came out to his bank to where they're going after his business bank, his personal bank, all of his other media and everything else. They're trying to shut down all of his ways in which he can use money. And you look at the predominant form of warfare that our government and governments around the world is using, and it's economic warfare. It's why we do sanctions on people. It's why this big fiasco about Russia right now. And they're terrified of Bitcoin. And the Fed, actually, recently, there's been a bunch of articles that came out about it talking about how they're trying to suppress Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies.
And because they can't have their hand in the till, so to speak, on it. They can't control it. They can't stifle it. And it gives the people the freedom back.
It really does. Like, one of the things that I've been using is Gate.io, and I can make business loans, and I can loan out money to people. I can eliminate the banks completely. I can set up auto trading just like the big boys do, and they don't want that level of power in the hands of people because they want you tightly knit together in your 401k system that you don't have access to, that they can cut you off to for any reason, and then say, oh, sorry, that doesn't work, or the markets can crash and you're not protected like the big boys are with put options or call options. Now, it's not financial advice. It's just something that I've been noticing on that.
Right. So, again, it's on Saturday, March 19th. If you want more information, go to ShastaBitcoinSummit.com, or you can get a hold of Christy at 530-324-5175. So there you go. And we'll have more on that, I'm sure, as time goes on.
Yeah.
With what's all going on with that.
So Travis, I have a video here that's a little bit of a long one, but I haven't seen anybody really play it, and people need to be aware of this bombshell that just got dropped by Project Veritas. There have been portions and clips of it played. So I'm hooked up right now. Hopefully the audio is going to come through. Normally this is Mark's forte to be able to do this. So
I'm ready when you are.
Young kid on the block. Let's see if this rolls.
I disagree with so many of the things that you've said. You're still unwilling to admit that they gained in function, they gained in lethality. According to the definition that is currently operable, we're not going to get anywhere close to trying to prevent another lab leak of this dangerous sort of experiment. You won't admit that it's dangerous, and for that lack of judgment, I think it's time that you resign.
Project Veritas has obtained never-before-seen military documents regarding the origins of COVID-19, gain-of-function research, vaccines, potential treatments which have been suppressed, and the government's effort to conceal all of this. Dr. Anthony Fauci has testified many times before Congress stating that the U.S. government was never involved in gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Will you today finally take some responsibility for funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator, with all due respect, I disagree with so many of the things that you've said. Gain-of-function is a very nebulous term.
But the thing is you're still unwilling to admit that they gained in function when they say they became sicker. They gained in lethality. It's a new virus. That's not gain-of-function.
According to the definition that is currently operable,
we're not going to get anywhere close to trying to prevent another lab leak of this dangerous sort of experiment. You won't admit that it's dangerous, and for that lack of judgment, I think it's time that you resign.
You have said that I am unwilling to take any responsibility for the current pandemic. I have no responsibility for the current pandemic.
That assertion is based on the NIH's definition of gain of function. However, the documents we've obtained refute that. The documents in question stem from a report of the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, better known as DARPA, which were hidden in a top-secret share drive. But what is DARPA? They are an agency under the U.S. Department of Defense, which facilitates research and technology with potential military applications. Dr. Stephen Walker was the director of DARPA at the time of the EcoHealth Alliance proposal. A source sent us this video of Dr. Walker talking about research they were exploring related to mRNA technology and its potential application with military personnel in the field.
DARPA, about 5 or 6 years ago, we stood up an office called the Biotechnology Office, and the real purpose of that was to understand how biology worked and then build design, build, and test cycles where you could engineer microorganisms to do things that you want to do.
Though the main report regarding the EcoHealth Alliance proposal leaked on the internet a couple of months ago, it has remained unverified until now. Project Veritas has obtained a separate report to the Inspector General of the Department of Defense, written by the U.S. Marine Corps Major Joseph Murphy, a former DARPA fellow. Major Murphy makes claims in his report to the Inspector General that, if true, could be damning to the official narrative that has been played out to the world over the past 2 years. Major Murphy's report states that EcoHealth Alliance approached DARPA in March 2018, seeking funding to conduct gain-of-function research of bat-borne coronaviruses. The proposal was named Project Diffuse. DARPA rejected the proposal because the work was too dangerous and could violate the gain-of-function moratorium, despite EcoHealth's position that it would not. According to the documents, the NIAID, under the direction of Dr. Fauci, did not reject the proposal. They went ahead with the research at Wuhan and several sites across the U.S. Dr. Fauci has repeatedly maintained his position, under oath, that the NIH and NIAID have not been involved in gain-of-function research with the EcoHealth Alliance program.
Now, before we continue here, what's very pertinent to know about this particular story and this particular case is at the same time that they were gathering all of this information was the same time they were raided by the FBI, had their phones confiscated and everything else to try to get and understand their sources behind these things. The level of corruption and malfeasance and terror that these people are doing to try to cover up what they've done already. This is no longer conspiracy theory.
All right, before you go on, when you say phones, it was Veritas's phones and files and reports.
And all of their documentation, which then very quickly ended up making its hands into one of the people that they were actively suing because this organization had been trying to tout that they were telling lies and telling that they were not being truthful and saying all these smear pieces, which were verifiably false. Their confidential conversations between their lawyers and that organization got leaked to the very organization that they were suing during this time. So with that said, we'll continue on this.
This appears to be contradictory to Major Murphy's analysis and the rejection from the Biological Technologies Office at DARPA. Major Murphy's report goes on to detail great concern over the COVID-19 gain-of-function program, the concealment of documents, the suppression of potential curatives like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and the mRNA vaccines. To be clear, Major Murphy is not the source of our reporting. As far as we're aware, he has done nothing that violates his oath of service to our country. We were able to track him down, and though he couldn't go into detail about the hidden documents, he did offer this heartfelt statement.
I offer no comments on the investigation or internal Marine Corps deliberations. I offer a brief comment to those that desire answers and to those that withhold them. To those seeking answers, I offer encouragement. There are good people striving for the truth, working together in and out of government, and they succeed. To those that withhold, I pray for you. Find the moral courage to come forward. Don't let a lie be our legacy to posterity. People will forgive. A commitment to truth is in the heart of this nation. Semper Fi.
Project Veritas reached out to DARPA for comment regarding the hidden document.
How chilling is that?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, how chilling is that? Especially in respect to with what we just saw over in Afghanistan and that pullout and that military man who had served his years, nearly almost 20 years, and said, I want answers. I want to know why my brothers died over there. I want to know what took place. And he got relieved from his duty, his pay taken away.
Right.
And this is the type of thing. I mean, his comment right there, despite the fact he said nothing, he said everything. It's pretty telling.
...documents and spoke with the Chief of Communications, Jared Adams.
doesn't sound normal to me. No, like I said, if something resides in a classified setting, then it should be appropriately marked. I'm not at all familiar with unmarked documents that reside in a classified space. No, that, like I said, that doesn't sound like. I mean, it's not good practice to put unmarked materials in, in a classified space. But there may be cause to, because something is determined to be classified, but it wasn't, originally marked appropriately. I'd be happy, Robert, honestly, to investigate and, talk to the people who would own this document within the agency, ideally the director of the biological technologies office or the deputy director of that office, and try to ascertain, why it was the case.
So here's the question. If the Department of Defense, the same people who make our nuclear arsenal, felt this research was too dangerous to proceed with, why in the world did the NIH, NIAID, and EcoHealth Alliance recklessly disregard the risks involved? Did they purposefully change the definition of gain of function in order to bypass the moratorium? Further, who at DARPA made the decision to bury the original report that could have raised red flags to the Pentagon, the White House, or Congress, which may have prevented this entire pandemic that has led to the deaths of 5.4 million people worldwide and caused much pain and suffering to many millions more?
Wow.
That's a lot to take in.
Mm. And a lot of information there.
And what's interesting, too, is you'll hear bits and pieces. Like, I've heard bits and pieces since this came out. But nobody actually says all of it. Nobody actually plays the damn thing. Nobody actually lets you see all of the information and all of the research and all of the files. Like, they show it all right there, and I implore you, go on and look at the actual documentation that they have. Because this, in 2 years, is the first source of actual credible documentation that we have in this entire fiasco. At the same time that you have organizations actively seeking to make it 77 years before you have answers on what actually is going on with these vaccines, as they call them, these gene therapies.
Well, that got shot down, didn't it? Was it 77 years or 50 years, whatever it was? Didn't they shoot that down?
They're trying now to change things. And in the meantime, what we have is we have organizations that want you to focus on things that are so insane, they should be the conspiracy theory. Right here, from the Postmillennial, teacher alleges she was fired for not meowing back at student who identifies as a cat. You heard that correctly. That's not hyperbole. That's going on in our nation because somebody identifies as a cat and you don't now meow back at them. That's what they want you to focus on, rather than the fact that people within our government have actually sourced a virus, had it escape, cover it up, come out with the technology that they were developing through that very process. Moderna is actually co-owned, and a portion of it is owned by the U.S. government, that vaccine.
Yeah, I want to go back, and now that you brought up the money piece, I want to go back to our famous Dr. Fauci. Here on the Gateway Pundit, it talks about how much money he's worth and his wife is worth, and how he's collecting, like over $100,000 a year off of medical textbooks and royalties. His wife is worth like $10.4 million. He's got investments that are well worth $8.3 million. Wow. He's behind a lot of this stuff?
And he makes $350,000 a year on his salary? I mean, you look at these things that are going through, and this is what we mean by a level of corruption. If you have a position that is making, let's just sum it down. Let's say you're on a salary of $50,000 a year, and yet somehow through that salary of $50,000 a year, you end up with $500,000 doing your job by the end of the year. Most people would be arrested for stealing from the company, for taking trade secrets.
You didn't get the extra money for just being a good employee. You had to be the employee of the month more than once probably to get that, but you know what I mean? You don't get rich like what he is, and a lot of people in the government are.
Not from that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear. Now, there's actually another report that came out recently on January 15th, yesterday. Anthony Fauci, $10 million 2020 investment portfolio includes Chinese companies. So according to Fauci's 2020 financials, first released by Senator Roger Marshall and reported by on the New York Post, President Biden's top medical advisor held investments in companies in China through a fund named Matthews Pacific Tiger Fund. The Matthews Pacific Tiger Fund's fact sheet, published in September 2021, revealed the fund had invested 42.7% of its investors' money into companies in China and Hong Kong.
Imagine that.
Now, knowing what we just knew about all of the rest of this information and what he was investing in at the time when China ended up taking great leaps and bounds forwards, mind you, it was right about the same week that we ended up finally shoring up our investments in China on a national level to where we were no longer operating at a deficit. It seemed like the trade war was over. Now, all of a sudden, we're back into a situation of COVID and 14 days to slow the spread. How insanity is what's happening right now? All right, looks like we have a caller.
We have a caller. Yeah, I can't see the name. Sorry. Troy?
Troy, yeah.
Good morning, Troy. What you got?
Well, greetings, hello, and hi to you.
Hi.
Hey, once again, thanks for all you guys do. You can't imagine, maybe you can, I can barely imagine it because I'm a dimwit, all the help you guys do, all the information you provide and motivation. You guys in the Saturday morning show have provided so much information, and I try to pass that on, but mostly I just get to ostriches, you know. But anyway, could you repeat some of the information you give out from time to time, because some of us are, like I said, dimwits. Like, for instance, the thing on Bocelli Lane and Montevideo, can you repeat the time and date for that, please?
Sure.
It's on tomorrow, Monday, January 17th. The time is 11:30 to 12:30, and it will be at the corner of Bocelli Lane and South Montevideo Road.
Okay.
And then the other one was the March for Life at 777 Cypress Avenue. That is going to be taking place on January 29th at 9:30 a.m. until 12.
9:30 to 12.
And then we had I'm sorry, go ahead.
Cool. No, that's right, go ahead.
And then on Saturday, January 22nd, we have the forum for COVID-19 that's going to be at 777 Loma Vista here in Reading, and that's from 2 to 4.
Okay, let me get this straight. So one's on 777 Cypress. Another one is on 777 Loma Vista. Is that true?
That is correct.
That's what you
Okay, 777 Cypress is the Taj Mahal, as some of us call it.
I know what you mean.
Okay. And then the 777 Loma Vista, I believe, is Pathway Church.
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, that's about it this morning. Thank you for all you do. I'm sure you hear that a lot, but you can never hear it enough. You and even the Saturday morning show and Terry and his guys, it's amazing. Too bad we didn't have that, just a small fraction of more Americans that could listen and pay attention and know what you guys do. It's just incredible.
It's a community effort. All of this is, we're all just normal people like you guys. It's at the end of the day, I love my community. We love our community. That's the only reason we're here. We pay to do this, and we want to get that information out because nobody else will. Yeah, our country, our community, all of it.
Yep. And just so you know, the programs are archived. So what makes it nice is you can always share it with other people and send out the podcast so that they can get it even if they're not in the area or the area. And if people start pushing the information out more and more, it gets out there more and more, and everybody helps make it happen. More hands make less work.
That's right. I'm one of the cavemen, though, that have no access at all to the Internet or to Bookface or any of that stuff. So I have a hard time with that. You guys, Saturday and Sunday, are the only way I've got access to this information. Speaking of corruption, one thing Donald Trump did, many things he did for us,
was expose all this corruption from the Department of Justice all the way down to the state and county level. It's just incredible corruption. Even I'm shocked, and I'm a very cynical person. So anyway, thanks for what you guys do.
All right, thanks for calling in. We appreciate that very much so. And with that, I think we need to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked along narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light, split the night.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about this? Sick illusion, no, it won't be televised. Welcome to the revolution. We will not comply with the institutions. Sick illusion, no, it won't be televised. Welcome to the revolution.
Revolution won't be televised, government been telling lies. If you're not with us, you better step aside. Witnessing the genocide, everything is centralized. The food that we consume and spraying it out with pesticides. Easily identify the sheep and the snake, the real and the fake, giving us a reason to pray. I'ma make my own choices, a voice for the voiceless. They trying to destroy us, avoiding the poison.
That is good stuff. That is real good stuff. You're going to have to remind me the author's names on that song is We Will Not Comply.
This says Hi Rez and Jimmy Levy.
Nice. Yeah. That, once again, I mean, look at all this music that's coming out. Look at this generation that is stepping up and these people that are sick and tired and fed up with it. I mean, you look at the kids. I mean, a lot of the things that are not getting the media coverage right now is, did you guys know that Gen Z is more conservative than the generation that came before it. They don't want to talk about that fact, but you know what? That's why they're crunching down on all these things. Let's do this for just a second here, because this is pretty interesting and pretty telling. You have a generation right now that is growing up in the most liberal, locked-down school systems that there are, and yet they are ending up more conservative. And the whole thing is they say that the people on the left don't have kids, they take yours. That's true. But what you need to understand also is that they are losing the narrative so bad because people are not complying that they have to go and resort to silencing those that would speak out against it. So I'm going to hit these just real quick. YouTube suspends and demonetizes Dan Bongino's account over COVID misinformation. Now, if you know anything about Bongino, he is a guy that is consistently bringing the receipts to everything that he says. He doesn't say anything unless he's got the information right then and there, and he is not going to back down just because somebody says, hey,
well, they censor anybody like that. It's getting where if you just use, you know, say vaccine or something like that, they're going to censor you. That's why we need to go to different platforms to get this out there.
This is true, but what's interesting is they don't start censoring you like on YouTube unless you end up getting, from what I've seen, to about like 5,000 people. Once you get to about 5,000.
A certain amount, yeah.
And so it gives this illusion that, oh, I can build a platform here. I'm not sure what's going on with the rest of these guys. And you start getting shadow banned, and then you start getting your videos demonetized. So they demonetized and suspended Dan Bongino's account. Next up, we have Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's been permanently banned from Twitter. Next up, we have DirecTV, which is dropping the One America News Network. Next up, we have Mike Lindell's bank accounts all going after. Next up, we have CNN labeling Democrat Senator Christine Sinema as a Republican in their chyron. Anyone who does not push their narrative and meet to what they're saying, they will go after. They will demonize. Mm-hmm. They will try to shut down. Did you guys know that it was just last week that Tim Pool was swatted on a live broadcast? To where somebody called in and there was 8 units that showed up from 4 different jurisdictions and went into the place. And fortunately, one of his staff was outside letting them know, hey, we're in the middle of a live broadcast. Nothing is going on. But otherwise, that could have turned deadly. What we're watching transpire right now with the Fed and with all of these people who are feds, as far as the FBI and the rest of them, this is political prisoners who have been held over this last year. We've watched this transpire. They're being held in solitary confinement. You know it's bad when you have Democrat representatives saying the treatment that they're being received is inhumane. You know it's bad when you have that across the aisle. And now, interestingly, just days after the anniversary, now when there had been no talk of sedition, no talk of anything else, now all of a sudden, they're prosecuting 10 people for sedition and conspiracy. These are not light charges, but they're going through and they're doing this so that they can have a narrative in an election year that they can try to push and peddle the whole time through. And why do they need to do that? They need to do that because we have things like the Red Cross declaring its first ever national blood crisis and a shortage of blood. We have monoclonal antibody shortages caused by the federal government, according to medical supply CEO. We have situations like our dollar that is dropping and consumer prices soaring 7% and producer prices soaring 9.7%. Now, isn't it interesting that when they go through and come up with these numbers, like the 7%, isn't it interesting that they go ahead and leave out your produce and leave out your
gas?
They
leave out all the important things, the things that cost you money that you have to survive in life. It's pretty amazing how that doesn't get computed in their data.
And who does that end up affecting the most, the people that they leave that out for? That affects the people that are on Social Security and fixed income. These bleeding heart leftists that say we have to take care of people, yet we don't actually end up taking care of people because we leave out the percentage gains because we don't want to pay them the money they invested in that they've been stealing from us this entire time. How much money does the federal government, how much money does the Fed in general, who's not even a part of the federal government, how much do they make investing all the money that we put aside for our Social Security all the years of our life, well, only to give us back a margin of it?
Well, they've robbed it so much. Mm-hmm. All those funds, whether it's the gasoline tax, whether it's Social Security, whatever, they've been doing it forever, robbing it and using it for their own gain, so to speak, in different areas. Mm-hmm. And it's broke. The system's broke, been broke.
It is. I mean, me being almost 30 years old, I don't think I'm going to see any Social Security money. But
I'm not going to probably see Social Security money, and I'm a little bit older than you. I'm just saying. Because it's been spent. It's been well known, you know. It wasn't put into place. Social Security wasn't put into place for people to retire with.
It never was.
Become that.
And in my opinion, looking at the devices that they try to put in place for people to retire with now, look at the 401k
devices,
and how broken that is. Look at the way the system works on that. Can you take that 401k and invest it in your own personal investments that may have much greater yield at a guaranteed rate? No. No, you can't. Not without taking a penalty, but what about my 50% employer match, right? Well, if you take that money out, you take 33% off of that, well, you basically had that get all wiped out plus some. It doesn't make sense the way any of this stuff is set up. It's set up to keep you trapped in a box, in a bubble. It's like how they constantly talk about, oh, let's go after the rich. Eat the rich, they say. And yet when you end up looking at it, the rich are the people that are not paying the taxes due to the very laws that the left has set up in the past. You've got the 1031 tax exchange, whereby if you buy something and then you have a sale on that, you can buy something of equal or greater value again
within
and not pay taxes.
Within a certain amount of time.
Exactly. And they have it all lined up. It's why the art community is thriving as a way to turn around and keep your investments in these things. But at the same time, you also have the insider trading that's taking place between all of these elected officials who say, yes, we should be able to participate in all these things, despite the fact that they have all the power over whether or not things will pass or not pass.
But the corruption is so deep, you know, and we're talking federal level right now. I mean, I'm seeing several articles about people stealing money from the school network. But we need to go back to the local level. We always need to go back to the local level because that's where we can make a difference to start with. Mm-hmm. So we can start making a change. And I think people are starting to stand up more. Of course, we don't get the coverage, so there's no way to know how many people locally are starting to stand up against their board of supervisors. But we do know we are one of the few here in Shasta, like with this recall. There is some other counties that are doing recalls. But this is a very important thing, and I don't want to keep hammering on it, but I am, because this is so important. I mean, it's so blatant at the county level what is going on, and we can make a difference, and we will make a difference. But we've got to do it now, and we've just got to keep going and going and going and going with it.
We have to. And this is what we see, because we've been attacking this more and more for these last 40 years. We've been attacking this from the top up, thinking the president can do something about it. The president doesn't make these laws. They can make executive orders that with a flick of a pen can be overturned. The people that you really have to focus on are the people that are your elected representatives who are supposed to represent you and go after those individuals, be it your local congressman, be it your people that are here at the county level, be it at the people at the city level. We have to focus on all these things. We have to focus on the school boards. And you look right now at what's taking place over in Illinois. So the Satanic Temple holidays display featured baby Satan in the Capitol there. Now, I didn't mention at the time, I didn't think it was that important. But now also Illinois elementary school is now offering after-school Satan Club. Yeah, that's not a joke. January 14th, the school district leadership is defending the so-called educational program. The program designed for children in grades 1st through 5th grade will be taught by volunteers at the Jane Addams Elementary School in Mullane. The club will meet 5 times this year, beginning on Thursday. Flyers circulating on social media offered further details. According to the flyer, the club will include science projects, puzzles, games, arts, crafts, and nature activities. The flyer states the club will help children learn benevolence and empathy, critical thinking, problem solving, creative expression, and personal sovereignty. Now, that doesn't sound bad, except when you end up looking at the organizations that are behind it, that's all about a me, I'm God. Because that's really what it comes down to. Now, wow. These are the things that we're seeing across this nation. We are seeing that people are not actually paying attention to their schools or their children. It gets back and hits to that point of the left doesn't have kids, they have yours.
I think it's changing, though. And again, we don't have any way of knowing that, you know. But I think people are, because we see it here in our county, and you see it, you know, like Nevada County. You got other counties that are starting to look at their school boards, realizing they got elections, realizing that they need to get plugged into that. And I think we have a caller. I'm sorry, I can't
Looks
see
like
the
board.
Looks
like we have two. So we have our first caller is Paul.
Okay.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Paul Danuka.
Hey, Doc, what's up?
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for all the awakening you are spreading. And just wanted to talk about the public forum we are hosting this Saturday on behalf of the local medical providers. I wanted to invite your listeners to Saturday a candid conversation on COVID-19 with their medical providers. It's till 777 Loma Vista Drive this Saturday between 2 to 4 p.m. We'll have a panel of local physicians and a couple of educators, child psychologists, and there will be a question and answer session where public is welcome to participate and ask their questions.
Well, thanks for calling.
And that's part of the awakening. That's part of the awakening that we should be able to get our information from multiple sources and make up our own mind.
It absolutely is. And actually, while I have you on the line, Dr. Manuka, did you have a chance to review that Joe Rogan podcast with Dr. Robert Malone and his 3-hour podcast that he had done with him at all?
I've seen a bits and pieces of it, but I haven't sat through the 3 hours of that.
Okay.
So I will try to see if I can catch more of that.
Yeah, we'll see if we can defer to another time on that, because I'd love to hear your opinion on some of what he stated there. But once again, folks, if you can make it out there to that question and answer time, please do. I mean,
I'm glad you called in, Doc. That's over at the Pathway Church, correct?
Right, but they're just gracious enough to give us the space to meet.
Right. But that's the location is the Pathway Church.
Right. But basically, the local medical providers will come together to discuss the public's concerns about COVID and the future plan.
That's great. And that's from 2 to 4, and it's on Saturday, and it's free for the public, correct?
Yes, this Saturday, coming Saturday, January 22nd, right? That's 22nd.
Yep, that's the 22nd. And there's going to be doctors and psychologists and quite a few people on the panel, correct?
Yes, that's right. And we will discuss various topics, including the treatments, vaccines, band-aids, prevention, and absolutely a variety of opinions, not single-sided, but a variety of opinions for people to have their questions answered.
Perfect. Thank you
very
much for the
call. Thank you very much.
We appreciate it. I'm glad he called in and gave us a little bit more information on that to what's going to happen. And that's a good forum for people to get plugged into.
Well, and it's amazing what's happening right now to where, really, the suppression and the medical suppression, once again, of all of these people that are speaking out and risking everything to actually tell all, like that Robert Malone case. Did you guys know that after that, Spotify had a list of over 100 doctors that came out and was saying that he needs to be censored for medical misinformation, and not a single one of those doctors had more relevance or more experience than literally the father of NRA technology. The guy who literally helped create and came up with the idea of MNRA, who has been in this field this entire time, is the guy who was speaking, and you have people that didn't know those type of things. They didn't have that type of training. They're speaking out saying we need to censor an opinion that is different from ours.
Right. And with that, we'll go to Lori. Good morning, Lori.
Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Wonderful program today. I'm going to dovetail with the caller. I did not hear the exact name. I was on hold talking to Travis. But I would like to say this. For all the people in the medical realm, health realm, public health, or whatever, if you are still riding the fence and you do not pick a side or claim this is a vaccine or it's not, and you do not understand the damage, the harm, and the death that's happening, I'm really getting increasingly more frustrated that you are still profiting, you're benefiting, you're lining your pockets, you're still billing third-party insurance, ka-ching, ka-ching. I am tired of these people that think they're woke medical people, and all they're doing is they're still riding the fence. They're still participating in the harm and damage. Many of them, I'm sorry, have already taken dose one, dose two, a booster, and probably going to roll up for booster number four. I am absolutely livid that these people proclaim that they're, like, aware or conscious, or they're trying to, like, come forward. I'm glad they're finally having a forum that is not being put together by the government, the CDC, and all the rest, like Karen Ramsom, Donnell, and all the rest. Really tired of that. Yes, I will be there on January 22nd, probably doing our usual Shasta County Citizen Journalist with Richard. Oh, yeah, we're going to be there. It's a free community event.
Yeah, I think
event.
It's going to be a good event for people to get more information to see where they're coming from and what's going on. Because a lot of times we only get one side of what is really happening.
It's been predominantly, exactly, one-sided government narrative parroting.
Well, and to your point on that, Lori, it's interesting because Robert Malone had actually mentioned how directors of these medical directors in these hospitals had actually been kicking out people and making it to where their licenses were invalidated or trying to get their licenses taken away.
Absolutely.
Because they were doing these preventative treatments that were making it to where these hospitals were not making the money. So a lot of times it's not the medical staff and it's not the normal employees that are there, but sometimes you do have somebody that stands to gain a great benefit who's at a top of one of these medical institutions that is going to go after, for profiteering reasons, these individuals that are speaking out against the deaths that they're causing. I mean, we look no further than New York to see Cuomo and the fact that he politicized the putting of people that were sick into nursing homes rather than the ships that were right there set up as a medical base. But I think that's your point. Do you have anything else for us?
To your point, and thank you so much, because this is the issue, is you've got too many people that are cowards, they're afraid, they don't want to come out of the box, and I don't know what you're waiting for. Obviously, we have on January 23rd, a Sunday, it's called Free Speech Day, and that's for doctors and other healthcare providers. This is 10,000 healthcare providers, I think it's worldwide, simultaneously by Steve Kirch, and I plan to do an open mic probably at the Sundial Bridge the day after this forum. And I tell you what, you medical people, you morticians, you emergency staff people, you all know what is going on and has been going on. And you have been afraid, and this is your free day. You get a free card. January 23rd is your day to come out of the closet and speak up, and you tell us what you've been told to do to backtrack data, erase data, change data, falsify, commit fraud, and all the rest of these stupid metrics that we have to listen to painfully by the likes of our local Karen Ramstrom, Donnell Ewert, Carrie Schutte, and all the rest when they come on the radio and they blither and blather about some unbelievable statistics that they cannot back up, Fauci's falling apart. Robert F. Kennedy's busting it. Dr. Malone. Dr. Peter McCullough. I'm on it 24/7. I take a nap 3 hours a night. I take a nap, and then I'm right back at it. I'm in this. This is the hill I'm going to die on.
Well, Annie,
I am not going to watch children being medically murdered anymore. Will not, won't.
This is the frustration, and this is what is going on. I mean, what we're seeing right now that's unveiling, this is the type of response that you get when you've been watching this for 2 years and are now on the 600th day of 14 days to slow the spread. And now you're on your fourth vaccine booster. And now there are people coming out saying, hey, you can actually end up having problems from the fourth booster, and we shouldn't do any more right now because you're going to end up having
problems from the very beginning, whether you got the vaccine or you're at stage four booster or whatever. There's side effects all along the way.
Well,
there's a problem all the way from the beginning of this whole thing.
Listen, we all know something has to flatten, and it's not the curve. Something needs to be flattened, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you figure it out. Something has to be flattened real quick, and you listen to these people that have on so many of their boosters or doses, and they're brain fog. They're lost. They can't figure it out. They're lost in their tracks. I'm not going to name names, but I'm saying it's constant, and there are way too many people, and who is going to run our county, our city, our state, and our nation when, 75% of these people have participated in this mass global experiment?
Well, and the other thing that you... That
harmful razor blade-shaped slicing their bodies? I'm sorry. Stop already, folks.
So, Lori, let me say this real quick, and then we'll move on to some of the others. But here's what's interesting on this. The numbers are inflated of the people whom are vaccinated. What people need to understand is the same exact thing that transpired. When you ended up having the COVID swab test each time for the people that had already had a COVID swab, they counted that as a new case, right? Remember that?
Yep.
Okay. So what we're seeing right now is the people that are jabbed and boosted, those are counting as new vaccination cases. So you have somebody that's been jabbed and boosted up to three times. That's three vaccinations that they're counting. And so they're trying to pretend and act like everybody's on board for this. But the thing that people need to realize is this Supreme Court ruling, folks, what we saw with this is that they told the average citizenry they do not have to get the jab, that it's unconstitutional based upon that. However, a person who is a lawyer decided that medical professionals that deemed it unsafe for themselves to get it was told they have to get it or lose their jobs. Think about that and wrap your head around that. How is that not practicing law without a license?
What they're trying to do is the military, crush, decimate it, and ruin it so it's non-existent. Mm-hmm. And they keep changing the definition of vaccines. So now it's, two doses might not count. Pay attention, people. Watch what's happening. The definitions, the carrot stick keeps moving.
Like you say with the military, they allowed that general to put it into their code about taking the vaccine. So they made it a lawful law.
It's as plain as day. Look up above. Watch what's happening with the spraying, the trails. You don't think that's the next bioweapon being dumped on us? I sent in pictures in the chat room already. People, they are telling us plain as day. The plan and the agenda is crystal clear.
Well, and it's interesting, too. The Army is now offering its largest enlistment bonus ever as it struggles to secure new recruits. The Army is working to overcome the nation's labor shortage with its most significant bonus ever,
$50,000. And that's what I was going to say.
What good is that money if you're going to be dead in a few months? You can pay me $1 million and join. Doesn't matter if you're a corpse a couple months later.
Right, but that's what I was going to say a little bit ago. If they weren't losing the narrative and people weren't standing up against this, they wouldn't be doing these incentives, trying to buy people and everything. I'm sorry. I think more and more people are understanding not to get the vaccines and are standing up. That's why they're putting into place things like this to try to make people having to make that choice.
What we're seeing right now is we're seeing violations of at least two codes that are federally illegal. There are two codes in the Nuremberg Code, and The first of it carries a 99-year sentence for coercion, and it also, if it's an institution, carries massive fines. I think it's up to $100 million for fines for coercion on any product that is not tested and that you're pushing on people. And what we're seeing right now is this is medical emergency use authorization only.
Absolutely. Yep.
And once again, to that Project Veritas document, what we're seeing on that is showing in that document that they had treatments that were ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, that they actually found to be better at that point in time in that document, that government document, over the vaccines. And what that would cause is it would mean there was a treatment that was available. It would mean they would not be able...
on the people.
They would not be able to release the mRNA on people. And you look at Fauci in his own testimony from years ago. He said, we want there to be something that goes on. Well, we're at the top.
The only bomb I favor is a truth bomb.
Thanks for the call,
Lori. All right, thanks for calling in, Lori. We appreciate it. We're at the top of the hour.
You've been listening to Sovereign Minds, KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM.
And we'll be back next week. Get out there on Tuesday at 1450 Court Street.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands. Oh, believe me.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.